Welcome to Servant Leadership Institute podcast, a production of the Servant Leadership Institute in Carlsbad, California. We are an organization where education meets action. Our mission is to inspire and equip the people we influence. The broadcast today features Art Barter, founder and CEO of the Servant Leadership Institute. Art is also owner and CEO of Datron World Communications, a radio communications manufacturer. Art has been operating his companies with servant leadership practices since 2004. He believes servant leadership was the key that allowed Datron to grow from a $10 million company to a $200 million company in just 6 years. As servant leaders, the employees of Datron World Communications have contributed over $15 million to charitable organizations all over the world. This podcast today is dedicated to Irma Cruz, a great friend and servant leader who worked with Art and I at Datron World Communications. Art, we're going to start our time off with a little word association for you today.
All right, great.
What do you think? You game?
Great. Good to have everybody
to
with us today. Yeah.
Super. The phrase, listen to understand. What do you think of when I say that phrase, listen to understand?
First thing I think about is Lori, my wife.
That's probably a great place to start.
Oh, yeah, that's being a husband and one that should listen more than we speak, as we say. Listening is one thing, but listening to understand takes some energy and is a learned trait that a leader has that doesn't come easy, because we say we listen, and I think we can all hear what's being said, but do we really listen to understand?
Yeah.
And I have a story from when I was a teenager. I think I was about 14 or 15 years old, and my dad and I were having one of those discussions that teenagers have with their parents. And I made a comment, said, "Dad, you hear what I'm saying, but you're not listening to me." And my dad looked at me with a funny look and said, "What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I heard everything you said." And I think in today's environment, take listening and consciously go after trying to understand what the other person is saying, what the other person is trying to get across, and what the other person is feeling. In what they're saying to you. And those are the key things that I think about when someone uses the word listen to understand. Now, that's a behavior that we work on in servant leadership, and you've been around me long enough, right?
Right.
For many years, and I'm sure you have some stories you could tell where I didn't listen very well. Carol's got her eyebrows up really high, and she's trying to figure out what to say.
I actually can't think of anything specific in my dealing with you, although I will say that I think in every leader-follower exchange, there is always a gap between listening and understanding until you really get to know the vocabulary of that person. I know I've had leaders in my life, not you, where we literally, I sometimes felt like we spoke a different language.
Uh-huh.
Because maybe this other individual was more technically oriented than I was, or had more what I like to call, book smarts when it came to a process.
Uh-huh.
Whereas I had just been doing the process. And so, that education versus action comparison that we talk about. And it definitely took a while for us to get on the same wavelength.
Uh-huh.
And, we actually, in the case of this one leader, we actually ended up becoming much better coworkers and actually friends once we got through that and gained a greater level of understanding.
I agree with you. People have their language that you have to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
And, there are times when we listen to a conversation and we hear everything's being said, but they're talking in shorthand because they've been together for so long.
Right.
They know what words are important to say, which ones aren't. And as a listener, you go, what did they just say? And yet they understand what's going on. And so I agree with you, the relationship side of listening is real important. We just got back from talking with a manufacturing company this afternoon about servant leadership.
And yeah.
We were talking about listening to understand when it came to problems or challenges you might have in manufacturing your product. And since we're a manufacturing company, it's always interesting to me to see when you have a problem or a challenge in manufacturing your product, leaders get together in a conference room and discuss what the problem is and come up with a solution. And nobody in the room goes down and talks to the people who build the product every day.
Yeah.
And when you talk to the people who build the product every day, you go down with the right spirit and the right mindset to ask them, tell me what you know about the process. Tell me what works. Tell me what doesn't work. And that helps build some trust. You know, we were talking about building trust before. But you really have to listen to what they have to say and talk their language and meet them where they are. And you will be amazed at the knowledge that you have in people that know your company's processes inside and out much better than you do as a leader. So why don't we use them more and listen to them more? You know what I mean?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think, and I also think we need to be a lot more, listening has to be an active process. You know, if I walk into the room to talk to you and you're sitting at your desk with your arms crossed, you know, and a real serious look on your face, I know that there's something going on beyond what we may be talking about. You may not be really open to what it is I have to tell you. So it may be difficult for you to listen to me.
Yep.
So I think, you know, in that interchange, people need to have, you know, we talk about emotional intelligence. People need to use those skills as they're communicating with one another.
They do. And you have to be conscious of those behaviors. And crossing arms. Still have a habit of looking out the window when I'm listening to people or talking to people. And it isn't that I'm not interested, but that I developed that habit a long time ago and always thought, you know, people were thinking really, really deep when they kind of looked away from you and said some words of wisdom. And I have to catch myself every now and then because we live in San Diego and we have offices that have windows and the outside is gorgeous, and we sit there sometimes and go, man, I really would like to be down at the beach right now.
Yeah.
Or I'd like to be over there in the park,
right,
sitting on a workbench thinking about things. And we really have to focus on listening what's before us. So it takes a lot of work. And then I always love to tell people the best questions you can ask when you're really serious about listening is, tell me more. Just Carol, you know, you've told me a little bit about the challenge you're facing, but tell me a little bit more so I can understand. And then once you get into that conversation, you can go, help me understand what you just said. Help me see it from your perspective and not from my perspective.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna listen to someone and we're gonna apply our experiences to that listening rather than really understand what the person is saying.
Yeah, I love those two phrases, and I've used them both at work and in my personal life. Particularly the help me understand, I think, can be used, you know, when someone's communicating to you, and maybe the message is, you know, there's some maybe anger feelings that are coming up or really passionate feelings that are coming up, to be able to say, help me understand, rather than something more abrasive,
right,
is huge, because you don't shut down the communications channels.
Right.
You leave it open, and you also give yourself a chance, I think, to calm down, you know, get yourself calm and really listen to the other person.
Yeah, there's emotions that go into listening.
Yeah.
And when the emotions take over, the ears shut down. And we're just thinking about how we feel and how bad this conversation's going, and we're not getting anywhere, things aren't going the way we thought they would, and we get off the track, and you really got to go back to those questions. And like you said, you have to say it with empathy and feeling and not go, Carol, I don't understand. Carol, I don't understand. Those two, just the way you say it, is going to create two different reactions from you. And so leaders have to be careful with their tone and how they say it. And parents, if you've got teenagers, the same thing applies. You know, you can tell your son or daughter, well, I don't understand you. I just don't understand. Tell me more. Well, hey, Jen, tell me some more about that issue that you've got at school. Help me understand how I can help you. Those get two different responses. Mm-hmm. And so listening, yeah, you have to make sure you use the right words with the right tone and the right attitude. And that all comes from the heart. It comes from your heart.
Yeah, that's definitely. I know if we could, you know, leave one more example of that with people. I had a situation when my son was, probably out of high school. But, you know, we work all day. We're really tired. We go home. And he would, you know, very much want to share things with me. And unfortunately, I would have this habit, I have to be honest. I guess it was a habit. I'd be so tired that I would reach a point where I kind of wouldn't hear him anymore, and I would actually almost like be falling asleep. And we think a lot of times that people don't notice. Well, they aren't going to notice because my eyes are still open. But you're not fooling anybody.
Right, exactly.
Yep. Because he looked at me and said, Mom, you're not listening to me. And it really convicted me. I mean, it made a very big impression on me because I never wanted to create that kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever we can practice at work as you know, fledgling servant leaders can certainly be taken home as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, we also need to be brave enough to apologize.
We do.
When we know we've blown it.
We do. We have to say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to come across that way. I didn't mean to say it that way. And can we give this another shot? Can we try again? Yeah. So, yeah, I've got a little similar story about my two kids when they were young. I was same thing. I was into my work and working all the time, Saturdays. And I come home and Sunday they say, hey, Dad, can we go down and do this? And my response most of the time was, we'll see. And one day I heard my two kids talking in their room, and Jennifer, the older one, said to Chris, the younger one, said, you know, when Dad says we'll see, that means no. And so when you use words that you think are don't commit you into the listening process, or you go, I hear you, mm-hmm. People are going to know when you use those words, you're fake, just like they knew you were asleep. Right?
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
So here's my next phrase for you. Think about your thinking.
I get scared about thinking about my thinking. I've gotten a lot better at it.
Tell me more.
Yeah, tell me more.
Help me understand.
You know, earlier in my career, like I said, I was working just crazy hours. And I always thought that I was the only one that could do it and get things done. And when I was in a controller position, I could basically do just about anything the job needed in my department. I could go in on Saturdays and Sundays and work hard and get it done. And I really didn't know what type of leader I was, but I thought I was being successful. I was getting things done, but my home life was just a wreck. It was just a wreck. And I didn't know what impact I was having because I didn't have any quiet time in my life. I didn't have those times where I sat down and went, wow, I wonder why the kid said when I said, you know, we'll see means no. I didn't think about that. Or, gosh, I'm working. This is the third week I've worked 7 days, and don't I need a little bit of refresher? And shouldn't I be spending some time with the one I love and said, hey, I want to spend the rest of my life with? And so in order to find out what you need to change as an individual, you need to spend some time in that alone space or some people just put some headsets on and listen to music and get lost in music, and that's when they think. Some people like to drive down the beach, go sit on the beach or go to the mountains. Find your spot where you can think about your thinking. And part of that process is reflecting about the type of person you are. And that creates some fear in people. You know, it's hard. And when you tell your management team you want them to spend some time thinking about their thinking, you get a little weird look from a lot of people going, well, what does that mean? You mean I have to stop doing something? I said, yeah.
Do you remember when you asked us in a meeting to take 30 minutes, 30 whole minutes, and go off by ourselves and just reflect? And there were people in that room who absolutely could not do that. I mean, they were just going nuts. What am I going to do for this 30 minutes?
Right.
How am I, what? I'm supposed to what? And I mean, it totally threw them for a loop.
I remember that meeting because there were some people who just looked lost.
Yeah.
And we can encourage them, go find a quiet spot and just sit and look at the surroundings and think about who you are and what type of leader you are and what you want to change in your life. And to get people to do that, it's really difficult. And even when when a leader says, hey, I want you to go spend that 30 minutes and go do that.
Right.
People go, I can't be with myself that long. I can't think about myself that long. Yeah. I don't want to think about myself that long. But it's a time that everybody needs. And, you know, one of my favorite things to do is to teach people how to turn their cell phones off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for those listening out there, we actually have a workshop you can sign up for to teach you how to turn it off. It's only like a couple of minutes, right? Because it's pretty easy to turn it off. But
yeah,
wherever I go to talk, I always challenge the leadership teams to sometime in the week after the conference or after the talk to go back to your office, turn off your phone, turn off your computer, turn off your monitor. And I'm not saying put it on vibrate. I'm saying turn it off.
Yes.
And shut down all the distractions you have and close the door and think about who you are. Take all your work off the desk, shove it in the drawer so you don't have it in front of you, and just sit down and think about who you are and what type of leader you are, what you want to do different, what happened last week that you'd like to go back and redo, maybe go apologize, work on a relationship that isn't working for you. How can you reward your team for all the effort they've been putting in? When they reach that goal that you've set that you never thought they would reach, and they reach it, what are you going to do to recognize that effort? There are all kinds of things you can think of, and you'd be surprised how creative the mind can be when you give it time to really think through things. And it is scary.
Yeah.
And it was a tough thing for me to do. I'm not a person. But what helped me was journaling. And I learned that late in life. I was the type of person that says, I never want to write my thoughts down. There is no way I want to write my thoughts down.
Scary.
And put it in print. But in sitting down and just saying, hey, these were my thoughts today. And these were my challenges today. And I'm not talking write your life. Don't write your life. Just talk about, from a leader's perspective, what your challenges were, what you were thinking, how you felt. And then what are you going to do to learn from that? And what are you going to do different next time? And so study something, learn about it, experience it, and then record it and learn from it. And there's a cycle that you go through all the time to do that. And journaling really helped me. And I don't journal every day. There is no way I could sit down and write every day.
Mm-hmm.
But about once every week, I do. And sometimes it's on a piece of paper. That I'll throw out. Other times it's in an actual journal book.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I just sit down on a computer and sit down and write a couple of paragraphs to get my thoughts together. And if I decide, hey, this might be a good thing to share with people in my life, I'll put it aside into that pile and go, someday I'll come back to that and share it with people.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things that, a lot of knowledge you have that once you think about what you have, you can take that and add value to people. But you don't do that, and you can't get that until you take that time to think about your thinking.
Yeah. I know one of the really important things for me was to think about the way I was thinking with regard to useful thoughts and non-useful thoughts.
Yes.
And all of us face situations as leaders, you know, be you the CEO, be you the middle manager, where an issue will come up, a challenge will come up. Real concrete example. If you came into my office and said, Carol, just got a new order. We have to make, you know, 900 radios in 30 days and do the planning, buy the parts for that. There's a couple of ways I can approach that. I can either say, oh my God, there is absolutely no way we're going to be able to do that. And it's going to be a big mess. I've got a plan in place, and now you're telling me it completely has to change. What am I going to do? What are my people going to do? They're going to think we're nuts. Is that useful thinking? Probably not.
Not as a leader.
Right. So in learning about thinking about my thinking, I had to start really examining how I thought, and was it useful for me to be thinking that way or wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it really made a huge change in my life to start looking at things in a more positive light and taking those challenging situations and turning them around to say, not how am I going to do this, but rather how can we do this?
I remember those days when I used to come over and say, you know, the plan we put in place yesterday, Carol, well, we're going to change it. Another order came
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
And we'd launch off into another discussion of what the plan's going to be. And, you know, we went through that a lot back in those days where the plans were changing weekly. And, you know, when we first started doing that and started working together, we go, okay, well, here comes Art again over from the admin building, and he's going to come in here and tell us we got to do something different. But in the end, all we're trying to do is satisfy a customer requirement.
And if you're trying to fulfill your mission and purpose,
mm-hmm.
then what good does it do to go down the negative road?
Right.
Absolutely none.
Right. So when we start believing that we can do things, and you're not going to say we're going to do everything and hit it 100%. You're going
right.
to have some times where you're going to struggle, and you're going to say, you know what, we give it our best shot. And those times are when you look at things positively and go after them, the achievements you have, you will remember for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Because those are the times when you make things happen. And, you know, a story came to mind. Remember when Katrina hit?
Yes.
And we had a gentleman who wanted to give some radios, and we couldn't get a hold of the National Guard in Louisiana. So he contacted California National Guard, and they said, yeah, we got a C-130 going down in a couple of days, and we need some equipment. And they gave us a list of equipment. And I remember, I think it was Jeff at the time, came on in and gave me the list of equipment. He says, what do you want me to do? I said, go make it happen. Yeah, I mean, I don't have to put an order in the system. I said, no, you got the list. Go make it happen. They need this tomorrow. And we put everybody on it. And the next morning, all that equipment was done, ready, boxed up to go. And I sat back and went, why do I need a sales order system? Do I need an ERP system? Why don't we just go after things, you know? And but the team really felt good about that accomplishment.
Yeah.
And, you know, the little bit of the story, the rest of the story is the National Guard had a hard time getting up to Sacramento, and we ended up chartering an aircraft and throwing that on there and flying it up. And I remember talking to the general, and he said, Art, he says, no one has ever done this for me before. He said, I can't believe you're going to do it. Is this going to cost us anything? I said, no, it's not going to cost you anything. You guys need radios to help people in Louisiana get this on the plane and get it down there. And I think 6 months later, maybe a year later, the National Guard came out with their communications trailer.
Yes.
And set it up in the parking lot and showed all of our employees what they were, what they did to help in that effort. And that was a special time. And the guys that went down with the trailer came over and talked to the employees, and we had a lunch. And those times are priceless. But you have to have a belief that you can go after things.
Right. And, I mean, if you had thought, when you were challenged by that, if you had thought that, oh, we can't do anything like that, you know, that quickly,
Yep.
Give us an order and we'll, you know, plan the equipment and we'll, you know, 90 days is a more, you know, normal kind of delivery.
Yep.
But that whole experience would have been lost, not to mention the fact that we wouldn't have been able to help people that needed help.
Needed help, right. So there's a lot of hearts in people that work for us, and there's a lot of knowledge. And sometimes we just got to cut it loose and let it go. And I don't mean cut it loose to leave the company. I mean cut it loose to serve the customer. Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yep.
Right. Perfect. Well, thank you for playing word association with me.
Hey, that's a fun game. We're gonna continue to play it here soon.
We'll have to do that again soon.
That sounds good.
And let me just clarify for people that listening to understand and thinking about your thinking are just two of the behaviors that we at the Servant Leadership Institute teach as part of changing your mindset from that of a power-controlled leader to a servant leader. So we thank Art for being with us today. In future podcasts, we plan to share more conversations with Art, as well as other practitioners of servant leadership. If you're intrigued by what you've heard, you can find out more about the Servant Leadership Institute and the services we offer at www.servantleadershipinstitute.com. And we want to hear about your servant leadership experiences. So send us an email at info@servantleadershipinstitute.com.